This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
In the house, and welcome to another episode of the Click Nation podcast. I'm your host, Tim DLGG, and tonight, as always, I'm joined by my brother, the Adam Black.
Greetings, true believers.
And we also have Mr. Banff.
Evening, bitches. Fuck off.
We also have Leroy Jetstream.
What up, nigga? Shit. I'm tired today, man. I'm tired and pissed today, so I'm ready to get into the show.
And last but not least, we're joined by our reality check correspondent, Brandy from BLR Productions.
What it do, pimps and pimpettes?
And we are the Click Nation. You can check us out on our website, www.theclicknation.com. We have a Twitter account that you can follow and keep up with our news and whatnot, and that is at The Click Nation. Make sure to like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. We also have a Google Plus account, a YouTube account, youtube.com/TheClickNation, that eventually we'll get around to doing something with. Subscribe to that. And if you ever want to send some comments or feedback to us, you can do that. You can send that to our email address, theclicknation@gmail.com. And, of course, make sure to subscribe to the podcast episodes through iTunes and Stitcher Radio. So last time we recorded was the Click Nation assembling together under one roof in one room for the Dark Knight Rises podcast, which we got some nice feedback on. Unfortunately, Brandy wasn't there to join us for that episode, but we're glad to have her. Glad to have her back now. And yay. I guess first, I'm going around the room and ask how's everyone's week been?
It's been a good week, man. Good week. Can't complain.
It's been raining in Atlanta, so that's kind of not. It's been dampering my spirits a little bit, but it's cool.
You had a visitor, didn't you?
I did. My best friend was here last weekend, so we partied up, lived it up. It was good. That's probably why I'm suffering now, but it was nice. I don't regret anything.
Everyone can't be a big baller.
I know, right? It's only one space on top for the boss.
Banff, Jetstream, how was y'all's week?
My week been good, man. I mean, everything, a lot of things are like falling into place for me right about now. And that's a good thing. So, yeah, I'm good.
My week has been a blessing and a curse. I'm back, finish up my education. Finally, I'm a Uber senior, and I had like a really jacked up, like, hip loving hip hop like Tiff, like in my real damn life, that, you know, I'd be too ashamed to really get involved, because, you know, it's just bad. It's like a Soulja Boy. Basically, it's like Soulja Boy beating up Ice-T. It's just kind of fucked up shit like that. Like, damn, why that young boy went ham on that old man like that? And it's like, damn. Anyway, but yeah.
So, get quickly add that we're recording on Tuesday, August 7th, 2012. And to start off the show, of course, we're going to kick it over to Brandy for some reality check news. But of course, before we do that, Brandy, go ahead and plug your sites and business and whatever else you feel like plugging.
Well, it's me, your girl Brandy. I am the owner, creator, and head honcho at BLR Productions, which is a graphic design and branding firm. You can hit me up on Twitter at @BLR_productions, and on Facebook, my new URL, I simplified it for everybody, so it's facebook.com/BLR Productions Design Studio.
Yes.
Thank you for that. So go ahead and hit us with some reality check.
Reality check. It's been like a minute since the last time I have clued everyone in on Ratchet City. Let's see.
Ratchet City, okay.
Ratchet City, that's like my best friend. That's her new term for Atlanta. I picked her up from the airport, and that was the first thing she did once we, like, got on 75. She was like, what's up? It's me. I'm here in Ratchet City. So I kind of...
That's kind of messed up, the A, but anyway, because the whole A is in Ratchet, just some of those people on that show, yeah. But yeah, let's jump in, because I want to get into that fucking how Stevie J ass got beat up like Dusty Rhodes by the fucking Four Horsemen like back in the 80s.
Oh, calm down. We're going to get there.
He got beat up again?
Oh, he got his ass.
Yeah, he got beat up by another man this time, but this man dresses up in drag. so pretty much at the end of the episode, pretty much Jocelyn pretty much did what Scrappy tried to do earlier in the season. The beginning started off with, well, before episode 8, we didn't cover episode 7. So episode 7, it pretty much was Stevie trying to get back in good graces with Mimi. She's giving him a hard time. So now, in the recent episode, they've decided to go to counseling. This is their second trip to the counselor. And Stevie is trying hard as hell to get her to understand that Three's company, and Mimi's like, nah, I'm not with that. Why she agreed to go to counseling, I have no idea, but it was, I guess this is their attempt in rekindling their home, but we all know, or we all...
Because Jocelyn crazy as fuck, and we all know it.
But, you know, we all speculate that Stevie was homeless or whatever, given she so-called kicked him out the house about 3 episodes ago.
That nigga still homeless. I saw that nigga walking off to the sunset yesterday. He didn't go to no house.
Exactly.
No car, no nothing. He just walked off.
Nothing. That's just how he do. He likes to walk off in the fog like that, whatever.
Yeah. You know, and they're trying to be nice saying it. They're trying to be nice saying it. Stevie J. It's like at her home. Like no, that's Mimi house. Like, stop playing. It's Mimi house, man.
Exactly. So pretty much, Stevie pretty much told Mimi, like, look, I'm down. I'm glad we're doing counseling. And, you know, for the next counsel session, I kind of want to bring Jocelyn along. So, of course, Mimi is like, why the hell are you trying to bring your side piece to our little get right meeting? So it was like she had to think about it. She told him she'd think over it or whatever. After she consulted with her homegirls, I guess she had a little revelation and was like, oh, this is perfect opportunity for me to stake my claim and let Jocelyn know that I'm the big baddest bitch or whatever. So she agreed. They're in there, and it's funny because their counselor, I don't think he's a real counselor, because he's sitting there talking like they feeding him lines too, because he's just like saying stuff.
No, in actuality, he really is, but he's getting a chick. He really is. He used to do like counsel on BET and show up on Teen Summit and all that, like back in the day. So he is a clinical psychologist, but you know,
but he's just no,
you know, you know they said, hey, but come on now, Brandon, he ain't even in a real office. Did you look at that office? That ain't no clinical. That is not a real office. Where's his desk at? Where's his stuff at?
He could be like Spike Lee's third little brother or something like that. I was just like, okay, you dress up in a suit, you look a little distinguished, and okay, call you a counselor. Whatever it is he a counselor? Is he not a counselor? I don't care. But they had a little counseling session, and in the middle of it all, Jocelyn walks through the door, has a seat on the couch. CBJ is sandwiched in the middle of his two little girls. And
did he grimace?
You know he was doing a little rat.
Yeah, he did that weird pink grimace shit.
He did it like he was
dumbass. Yeah, he crap. Dumb.
Cheese with his front two teeth or whatever. So pretty much Mimi was like, Jocelyn, why the hell are you here? Jocelyn was like, I don't really know, but I mean, what you doing with my man? And Mimi is just like, what you mean, your man? He's at my house. We live together. Apparently, Jocelyn, that was news to her. It was bad news to her. She didn't like what she heard. So she looked at Stevie. She looked at Stevie and was like, oh, so y'all living together? Because 2 days ago, you was all up in my house. And so she's talking. While she's talking about how she's, like, appalled at how Mimi's claiming Stevie, Stevie pulls out a little tissue, a napkin out of his pocket, and dabs Jocelyn's nose. He wipes the sweat off her nose. Ugh. And that's when the counselor's like, what the hell's going on here? Did you just realize what you did? And he's like, nah, her nose always sweats. You know, I'm just wiping her nose off for her or whatever. So Mimi is just like, are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, that was that thug loving, man. That was that thug loving. He had to do that. That was that thug loving.
So that's when the counselor, he got his script together, and he was like, oh, it's time for me to be a counselor. But he diagnosed Stevie as a passive aggressiver, or whatever you're supposed to say. And Stevie is like, I don't know what you're talking about. So the counselor had to explain to him that dabbing Jocelyn's nose was a little passive aggressive action to pretty much let Mimi know who he really cares about. So Mimi's sitting there. I hope she like she was listening. So she was sitting there real quiet while Jocelyn's still popping off, like asking Mimi of who is she to claim Stevie, because Stevie don't really live there. So then she was like, all right, Stevie, what is it? Who are you with? Are you living with her? Are y'all like trying to be a little happy home? Because last time I checked, she was just a baby mama. Stevie looked at her and was like, yeah, you know, that's my baby mama. We live together. We together. As soon as the last words came out of his mouth, Jocelyn got up and was like all over Stevie. She was knocking him across the head or whatever, trying to dig a fingernail in his eyeballs. Production crew had to come, break him apart. She was damn near beating up the production crew to get to Stevie, while Stevie little rat ass slid out of every little hole he could find so he could do his infamous walk away in the fog little moment, and that's what closed the scene out. So it was a lot. It was a lot going on last night.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they had that, man. You guys should have seen it, because I don't even watch the show. But I sat up and watched that show just for him to get that ass whooping. And you know what? They did that just like damn boxing, where you watch all the undercard matches get to like the main event. But it was worth it to see her go ham. I mean, look, she beat Stevie J. That nigga got his ass whooped. She had this nigga in the head. That lie, Dusty Rhodes, this nigga, like, like, damn, Stevie J, like, you do all that working out, and we know who takes charge in the bedroom now, man. You know, I know she be saying whatever about you, or whatever she say or he say, but no, she was in charge on that one, and she was tossing around like that damn crew, all them fat dudes, they got to run up in that bitch with black shirts on. She was knocking the shit out of them too.
She was like
knocking the shit. She knocked the shit out of one fat ass, looked like T-Pain. Knocked the fuck out of that fat nigga. I was like, damn. I mean, she was going at him.
She was on a mission. Like, Stevie was finna get that ass kicked last night. And I think that was Mimi's smartest scene ever, because she stood to side and she literally was like, yeah, get him and get one for me too. I was like, finally! I can give her a hair clap.
Well, yeah, you know. Well, you know, Mimi been through with him because she was sitting up there with her girlfriend. What's her girl name? Is never on the show, but
the girl with the short hair.
Yeah, she's like never really, on the show.
Yeah, I'm convinced that she doesn't get a check.
Nah, I don't know. I'll probably be on some jacked up crap, but I'd be looking at her like, I'd be like, she want Mimi. I bet she.
I said the same thing.
When you go, she would get Mimi like, bitch, when you gonna leave this nigga? Like, nigga, like, she would look at me and be like, you know I love you. Like, why you acting like this? Fuck you on TV.
Well, she said a line in like one of the earlier episodes, like, I would do anything to make sure she would get away from Stevie J. And, you know, the first thing in my head was like, well, what would you do? You know,
why not just leave?
I mean, she couldn't help her, you know, before you
I mean,
know.
I'm not mad. That's HLA, man. You know, shout out to Mr. Smith. That's HLA right there. So I'm not mad at all. And she needs more to do in the show anyway. Because she just pop up and get, you know, I mean, she's the smartest one getting a check. Because none of her drama's exposed. She can still go get a job and still gets credits for being on this show. And she's getting a check, unlike everybody else who's pretty much, you know, got dumb stamped on their forehead after this. You know, my poor girl, Erica, I was on here. I'm like, first of all, Scrappily Erica Shay. Look, I just left Atlanta. I'm going this weekend. I know niggas in Atlanta go real dumb over big old ass. Well, really in the South, we go dumb over big old ass. And that's really all Shay got to me compared to, like, Erica. I'm like, come on, man. Erica been supporting. She been going to the call center, going to work. You been chilling. Wherever she going. She been, you know, Erica.
She's in the call center.
Come on, her mama named Filet.
Erica definitely has proven that she's like the down ass chick, but Scurvy ain't—he not ready for that because he's like sitting here parading Shay around, got inviting Rashida to the studio so they could record a song together, and Shay sitting there doing her little stripper dance, and Rashida's like, "Who the fuck is this? Like, what's going on?" He plays it off like. Just for friend or whatever, and Rashida's like, look, you gonna have me stuck in the middle because you know Erica is my homegirl. I talk to her all the time. Like, what are you doing? And he's just like, of course, like any typical dude is denying what's going on. He's like, nah, that's just my homegirl. That's my homegirl.
Yeah, you know what? To repeat Mr. Bamp from our first show of this, there's nothing separating Scrappy at this point in his career from any old random ass dude. So this shit is expected of him.
Scrappy's just regular ass nigga anyway, man. He's been that for years now. So.
Yeah, the show even got his last hit, which that shit was like damn 96. I'm like, damn, I didn't even know it was that damn far back, like 96, 97 when that was like a hit. So, you know, but I think, you know, he's definitely going to end up having to pay that child support that he didn't want to do. So hopefully him and Shane are going to hand link together and do like I Love Bucky on VH1 and get that going or whatever they're about to do. You know, I'm just waiting for next week when K Michelle brings up her beef with her ex-fiance who's now married to Lil Wayne, baby mama. And. Yeah, ex. Shit crazy. It's nigga tastic. It's crazy. It's nigga tastic.
Yeah, K Michelle. She got real emotional. Apparently, like relationships, do's and don'ts is a sensitive subject for her because she got real. She was real appalled when Scrappy brought Shay to the little listening party event, and she was just like, yeah, I'm feeling a certain kind of way because my left leg is doing the Elvis right now. I was like, okay, left leg doing the Elvis. That's like, I don't even want to picture that, but I guess she felt some kind of way. So So, like Leroy just said, next week she gets very emotional because apparently nobody believes her that Miss Hicks beat the shit out of her. And she's just, like, determined to prove to the world that he's a big-ass monster.
I'm a little bit mad on this because, you know, you can call me a lame or whatever. I'm not hip to music. I'm more mad that the only hits this nigga got is hitting the upside of the head. I ain't heard none of this nigga shit. So I'm just like, what?
Well, he's
like,
not an artist. He's not an artist. He's an A&R.
He's not an artist. He's an executive, yeah.
Get it right.
Well, studio.
He's an A&R executive. He has worked with artists like T-Pain and I think that's the biggest artist he's worked with.
So he brought him coffee. That's what you're saying. You know, I like I said, you know, if he's that great, why didn't he help out her career instead of her being, well, that might be the downfall.
Well, tune in next week because she's supposed to explain that because he's supposed to be, he was technically her A&R exec when she got signed onto her first label and they ended up having a whirlwind of a relationship. She got knocked across the head a couple of times, probably hit a few walls and woke up and found out that all the money was spent on stuff like jewelry, clothes, cars, or whatever.
And now she's a crazy chick. She's gonna show up on the next show in a wedding dress. Like, you showing up in a wedding dress.
If you like fighting, if you have forced the box in a boxing ring, you get knocked on the head a couple times. You might be crazy when you're done. So
yeah, she got real country. Like as the show went on, she tried her best to be sophisticated. Give me one second. Yeah, she tried her best to be sophisticated. She got real country.
Wait, you stop.
That's about to affect this conversation.
Did the South drive by you? What the fuck?
Optimus drove by.
Oh, shit. That was a little kid, like in a go kart, and I was simply looking at him down the street. She's like, are you coming down this way? You see I'm taping. Don't you come down here.
You see I'm taping. He's like, man, I just see you on the phone.
He came back, stopped, and was like looking at me. I'm like, okay. And then he goes, that was me like, okay, all right, I'm out here in the white suburbs, standing in the middle of the street with a cell phone. So it's not looking right.
I thought that someone with the lawnmower had started up.
Nah, man, he got like a little fancy go kart, man. Looks like one of them like dune buggies and stuff from back in the day.
Yeah, I thought it was the General Lee. What the niggas, you in Hazard County? Bring your ass back to Macon.
Oh, that was hilarious. But let me see. Any other characters we haven't covered? Benzino is supposed to be like head over heels in love with Carly. He like gets on his little motorcycle and rides to what? To me, I thought it was a smoke shop. But once he got inside,
it was a smoke shop, and he met a jeweler. Yeah, he met this jeweler there. John the Jeweler or whatever they called.
Right,
I'm like, whatever.
I've seen the place before, and I was like, what? That's a smoke shop.
It's just a smoke shop.
What is he finna go do? Like, okay. But then the man behind the counter starts pulling out diamonds and jewels, and I'm like,
he was doing advertising because he was pulling out all this big, giant, gaudy, lock me up, I slain dope jewelry. Like, don't nobody with real money wear that gaudy stuff, like a big giant. He had the one that was a big giant heart, and I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, Brandy, you a woman, would not, if a dude gave you that big heart thing and you knew, you know, how would you feel if he gave you that? And the first thing runs through your mind, is it real? Like,
exactly.
You need to go get an appraisal or something. This isn't even real.
And he looks like Benzino.
With no neck. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Ain't nobody with Benzino uncle is slaying jewelry. You know, this is his uncle. The only thing I will say that was cool, that looked like it made sense, it kind of almost made me think Benzino has a little bit more sense in class, because I think he's secretly the producer on this little show, or he's doing something. Is the ring. Like, okay, the ring he gave Carly. I'm like, okay, it's it's not too gaudy. I mean, it's out there. I mean, it looks fake as shit, but it beats that fucking heart ring shit. So I'm like, oh, okay. I'm still like, nigga, that jewelry looked too big. But I'm like, okay.
Okay, but yeah, both of them are doing too much. Like I predicted, hand clap for Carly. She did get a photo shoot for the ghetto version of Us Weekly, just Benzino's Hip Hop Weekly magazine. They showed her behind the scenes for her shoot for that. So big ups to her. I'm sure we'll be seeing that on Stance pretty soon. He's been doing a lot for her. He said after she came to him and was like, look, my team feel like I need to leave you alone because they trying to make me hot and you're ice cold. He took that as a challenge and set up a meeting with Vince, I forget his last name, but Tamar Braxton's husband, set up a meeting with him and she got all excited about that. Then he did another dinner date and presented her with this ring. So that was a little bizarre. I think it's a little extra, but that's what happened when you have a scripted reality series. And last but not least, Mimi felt the need to inform us that she had mother issues. Her mother abandoned her for the, Scientology cult when she was 13. Yeah. She admitted that her mom chose to follow the religion of Scientology and abandoned her and her brother when she was 13. They showed her and her brother getting on this boat with her mother's urn because apparently her mother's last wishes was to have her ashes spread over a river. Why she held on to this, like, that tells me how she really feels about her mom, because who the hell is waiting for the perfect moment, aka VH1's TV reality crew, to film you spreading your mom's ashes across the river. Like, if that was her last wish and you really loved her, you should have been did that shit. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. Like, how long ago did this bitch die?
I have nothing to see. This say back.
Did this bitch die 10 years ago and you've been holding that shit waiting on the reality show?
I know.
It's a while. It's been a while. Like, she was like, you know, at least 10 years or something like that.
Yeah, her mom's been gone for a minute. I think that's some selfish ass shit. Like, your mom's last wish, and you just waiting for the perfect moment so you can shine.
Wait, so mom been dead for like 10 years.
Bingo.
Mom got cremated, ashes in the urn. And mom's last wish is to be spread, her ashes spread it on a river or whatever, thrown into a river or whatever. And you decide to wait, then you get the reality show and just like, oh shit.
I got my mama.
I can get some sympathy votes and throw her ashes in the water.
Exactly. That tells me that somebody from the production crew was like, Mimi, your storyline is back. Like, you got no buzz. I need you to come up with something. And she went in the attic or basement or whatever and got that mama arm.
Got the mama urn.
She's like, I could use this because I ain't got no more Stevie shit in my house.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you know what though? On the real, the brother might have brought the urn with him. Like, hey, you still got mama? Can you bring mama down? Can you bring mama down for the show? He like, what?
We gonna throw her ashes in a river. How much you want to bet that ain't even her mama's last wish? That probably ain't even her mama's
That might not even be her mama.
Her mama might
in there. I don't really want to get into that, but it might not.
Her mama might be alive. I'm just going to say it. That mama is in a damn nursing home with a feeding tube down a goddamn throat. I'm done. I'm sorry.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, they pulling storylines out the ass at episode 8, so I don't know how many episodes they got left.
We didn't get on Rashida, which they really tried to dig something up, and
Rashida,
Mama, exactly what.
Red Dev, her tweet.
Man, Mr. Bell, you had it, Mama.
Yeah, Rashida did her follow-up with Walker's mom, Deb Antony, She had her bona fide Tweety Bird mushroom cut wig. And, like, literally, she looked like Mama Tweet. Rashida brought her husband, Kirk, over to the meeting. So Kirk can pretty much get one-on-one to hear, like, dude, you the reason why Rashida ain't the nobody.
And Kurt too swole to be getting that fucking weak and that sensitive. Like, nigga, you ain't in a boy band. Calm your ass down. But no, buck up.
Well, he's just like, he was in denial a little bit because he's just like, Rashida is selling the most albums she's ever sold in her career now than any other time. And I'm like, whoa, they got like, she got.
Whoa. Oh, shit, she's selling 20.
I know, right? She went from 10 to 20. Like, good job. Hand clap.
Good job, Rashida.
So, yeah, man. Yeah, till Waka Mama got real on them. You know, I was like, damn, Waka Mama just went off on you, dude. Waka Mama said, she dirty, and she in the dirt. She want to breathe. You ain't getting no money. Waka, fuck her. I was like, damn, why she went. Waka Flocka Mama just went off on her. Like, she was nice with me. Well, baby, you know, it's like this in life. And, you know, I looked over the work, and you've been with, like, that is some sad shit. You've been with five labels. And from what I can tell, the only thing that hasn't changed with all five labels is you've been attached to D-Lo Management. That's still a problem right there. It's D-Lo Management. And then she just went off on his ass. Then he was feeling like he had been violated when they was in the car.
Yeah. So Kirk had no choice but to back down and pretty much told Rashida, you know, if this is what you want to do to move forward, I support you 100%, blah, blah, blah. But I bet you a Popeye's two-piece and a biscuit that Deb ain't going to pick up Rashida. She give her all that advice about what you need to do, what you need to get rid of, who you need to be with, but I doubt she'd pick her up. Because everybody knows Rashida is, like, a bona fide flop.
Deb ain't doing that. Deb was doing that for Waka. You saw that big Waka Flocka post in the back? That was for Waka. like, you know, maybe she might let Rashida jump on a Waka track. You know, maybe a good single or something to do a mixtape with Waka. But, nah, she ain't signing her, so.
She not going to sign her. So, I mean, that wraps up the recap for episode 8. Stay tuned for what I got to say about the reveal of everything that goes down for episode 9 next week.
Yay.
Or actually the week after next, because I don't think I'll be here.
Yay.
All right, tell us how you really feel.
So you can save that unless everyone decides to do a show by themselves without me, which y'all are gladly open to do.
I imagine you like saying that like it's an undercover threat. Like,
I know, right?
I just said I wasn't going to be here.
Nah, man, I don't even like the bass in your voice on that.
I know.
I used to do it like, what the fuck, if you do a show without me, I'll fucking kill you all.
Exactly.
Well, you can always do a show if you're, you know, you're always glad if, you know, you want to deep down.
I am not doing a show. Tim,
I'm just leaving it up to y'all.
Right, exactly. I ain't doing it.
Tim, you ain't the only one that know how to press record.
Okay.
Oh, God. Brandy, if I don't see you, I love you.
All right, y'all. It's been real.
Thank you for joining us tonight, Brandy.
No problem. I will hit y'all up in 2 weeks.
Alrighty.
Hey, thanks, Brandy. Go on ahead and get you some rest, man.
Alright. Bye.
Bye.
So that, of course, was the reality check. Very entertaining, as always. And now we're going to transition into the Click Nation news, which is going to be basically the rest of the segment. Since we missed a week, tonight's episode is just going to be nothing but news. So sit back, relax, and enjoy listening to us ramble about different news from the past week and a half. This section of the Click Nation podcast is brought to you by the Adam Black.
Yeah, and talk shit.
Yep.
Yeah, plenty of it, because, you know, I'm mad. A lot of haters running around, so I'm pissed off.
And Adam Black stepped out for a minute, so I'll pick up on the first bit of news. Dark Knight Rises opens to $160 million. Not sure if there's anything really to discuss with that.
No, wonderful movie. Yeah. Not much to discuss. It's awesome.
We enjoyed
it. Beats the shit out of the Avengers.
We got some nice feedback on Facebook. Got some nice feedback on Facebook about our last episode, the Dark Knight Rises review. We'll read that later in the show. Let's see, Batman Begins and Dark Knight top Blu-ray sales.
Yeah,
that out. And this coming from the Hollywood Reporter. As soon as I'm able to scroll down.
Mm-hmm.
In the wake of the theatrical opening of The Dark Knight Rises, fans rushed to pick up copies of the two earlier installments. And I have to say, I was one of them, because I traded in my Batman Begins DVD to get a $5 certificate coupon to get taped $5 off the Batman Begins Blu-ray.
Fantastic.
And let's see. The film's the Massacre at Midnight screening of Dark Knight Rises in Colorado last week certainly cast a pall over the film's theatrical release. Security beefed up, theater stocks fell, and the opening weekend haul of $160.9 million, while the third best debut of all time was still off $10 million to $15 million from initial expectations. The tragedy may have been a factor in Batman fans rushing to video stores to pick up copies of the two earlier installments of Christopher Nolan trilogy, Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, which were the top Blu-ray disc sellers for the week ending July 22nd. I disagree with that, because I think that people are going to buy those anyway.
Yeah, people are going to run and buy those anyway.
Just like I did.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, we've lost Walker.
Uh-oh. It's just me and Mr. Banff.
That's right. But yeah, I think that people are going to run out and buy those anyway, because that's what people do, you know, when a new installment of a movie trilogy or series comes out, everybody runs and buy the
previous
older ones to catch up. So.
Exactly. I hear someone wrestling, so I think Adam Black is coming back.
Oh, yes, sir, he's back. Oh, he's back.
And see, the film's captured the number one and number two spots on the weekly Nielsen Video Scan Blu-ray disc sales charts. Let's see. Blah, blah. Some other stuff. Yeah, that's good for that. And let's see. Next story is CW is eyeing Battle Royale for development. Would you like to read that, Adam Black?
You can go ahead, Tim. I'm still low now. I'm sorry. But that's based upon the old Japanese version of Battle Royal, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes, I think it is, if I remember correctly. Reading that right, yeah. If anybody's ever seen the Battle Royale movie, the original, from Japan, I really don't know how they're going to translate that into a TV series. I just don't see that working.
CW is, again, from The Hollywood Reporter. CW eyes Hunger Games-esque Japanese feature Battle Royale. The Youth Skewin Network... Oh, it's going to be a T. Okay. Yeah, the Youth Skewin Network is exploring rights to the 2000 film for a potential series adaptation. The controversial movie, which, like Hunger Games, is set in a dystopian future...
I don't know how that's going to work either.
...in which high school students are forced to fight one another to the death and are based on Koshin Takumi's novel of the same name.
Yeah. I call the movie way back Battle Royale, and it's a good movie, but I don't know how to translate. If you guys talking about it becoming a series, I don't know how to translate into a whole.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
A whole series of that, man. Because, I mean, it has good shock value for the movie, because, you know, it's one of those things where when you see it, it has that old boy effect, you know, where the Asians, they just went there, where, you know, it's pretty much just all out. When they mean Battle Royale, it's all out, gruesome, killing, I mean, spiked bats, you know, throwing stars, katana blades, dudes setting booby traps, decapitation, you know, lots of blood and gore and everybody's getting killed.
Yeah, people still get killed. You just wouldn't see blood or
gore.
Yeah. I think it could work on a randomness, just the whole thing. I mean, you know, especially like when you're dealing with actors and stuff like that. The whole, you know, you never know who's safe as far as the characters. So that could, you know, be intriguing for, you know, fans and, you know, the audience, you know, watching the show.
Yeah, so. I think that would be cool if they do it kind of like a anthology series and they change out the actors every week. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, and then you didn't have to focus on the same, well, like you were saying, you don't have to focus on the same folks every week, and then it could lead towards, like, it could be actor, you know, this A group A is one set of actors, group B is another set, and group C, and you can each have their stories, and then eventually they'll converge in, like, the season finale or something, maybe?
I mean, pretty much like the movie. That's how the movie was. The movie was kind of set up to where it made it where it gave you characters from each, I guess, each class for you to kind of care about and from each, you know, background. So you care about all of them and all the teams that they're with. And it gives an introduction. Everybody kind of gets picked off, even the ones you care about kind of get picked off through the, you know, through the movie. So you don't know what's going on in the movie, who's going to get it, who's going to, you know, die. So maybe, but I don't know if it'll be a long series. I mean, it depends on who picks it up. I mean, you know, if what, who was set up to pick it up?
CW.
Should CW land the rights?
Oh, shit.
If A&E
had it, maybe. If FX had it, HBO, one of them. But no, they're going to take it and turn that shit into some damn Gossip Girls crap and have them texting, and the next one that gets texted going to get killed or some goofy shit. Man, who?
Should the CW land the rights, Battle Royale would join the dystopian drama The Selection in the network's development pipeline. The network opted to redevelop the buzzy pilot starring Friday Night Lights' Amy Teagarden rather than passing outright on the adaptation of the books by Kira Cass. The network is potentially eyeing the project for mid-season.
All right, I got the next one, Tim.
Cool.
It was the Google Fiber.
Yep.
Okay. This was a couple weeks ago, but Google detailed its high-speed internet network called Google Fiber. It's supposed to run 100 times faster than today's average broadband connection. The search engine giant is bringing the ultra-high speeds first to Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri, in addition to offering two paid packages. Google is also rolling out virtually free service for at least the first 7 years. Note, you still have to pay a $300 installation fee. No more buffering, no more loading, no more waiting, the company notes on its blog. Imagine instantaneous sharing, truly global education, medical appointments with 3D imaging, even new industries that we haven't even dreamed of, powered by a gig.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We won't be in our area for a while, but...
Man, yeah. It'll probably move through, man. Like I said, the only thing holding back the bandwidth is basically the companies. They all really can kind of do what Google's doing. Google's just the first one. It's like, you know, well, they're the first one that came up with a business model, how to make money off of it, and really set up the infrastructure. But all the rest of them could do it. They were just like, eh, we don't want to do it. We get enough money now. So fiber will probably be pretty good. So I think fiber will come out, and it will probably, if the cable companies don't jump on board, it will probably crush the remainder of the cable companies. They don't jump on board with fiber.
And that goes to the next story, right? Hello?
I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm still here.
I'm sorry, Tim. I'm sorry. In the same article, it noted that it was going to divide Kansas City into small communities called fiberhoods.
Say what?
Fiberhoods.
Oh, wow.
Each fiberhood would need a high majority of their residents to pre-register to get the service. Those communities with a high pre-registration percentage will be among the first to get Google Fiber. And basically, it looks like the internet would cost $70 a month.
Damn.
While internet along with television will cost about $120 a month. But they are offering a free internet service, as we said before, but it will just cost $300 to install it for one time. And it's also available for $25 a month for 12 months, which is not bad.
Mm-mm.
So
I would love to see how that works. I would love to see that in action.
And also, whoever gets it will come the Nexus. They will get a Nexus 7 tablet. Will come with the TV service package and serve as your remote control.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, do they show an Nexus of how that will work? Because I'm thinking that they're just going to probably put up like give you a box and then put like a wireless modem, and then you're just gone. You're just running. Like everything in the house is links up to that one box, and that's it.
Well, in the next article, it basically shows the full Google experience, which is shows the box for the cable, you know, a TV. They showed the laptop that's on the Google homepage, and I believe that's the Nexus Galaxy tablet in the middle of it. Let's see. They just talked more about the Google Fiber TV in the article. It allows you, the interactive service allows you to watch and record up to 500 hours of television and tape up to 8 shows at once across its new Google Fiber internet network.
Man, that's, yeah.
Is that all in HD?
That, well, it didn't, I'm guessing that if, I'm hoping that's HD.
I hope that's all in HD.
Well, knowing them, that's probably HD. If it's moving, how fast they say it was moving again?
They didn't say the specifics, but it's like 100 times faster than what's being run now, supposedly.
It's gonna be doing HD easily if it's being that fast. So yeah, easily.
It doesn't necessarily have to be HD. I mean, it could be 500 hours of standard definition. I mean, but you would think they would say they think it would be HD.
I'm gonna put my money on it. Google wants to get people like Mr. Banff is what marketers would call an early adapter. So he's the first person to get the hottest shit out. I think that's what Google Fiber is made for. People, they're early adapters. They want to test it out with them because early adapters usually have discriminating taste. So they want to test it out with them first, get the kinks and bugs out, and then get it for all the latecomers and everybody who's just like, you know, I'm gonna get it once everybody else has it. So I think that's who Fiber is for. Fiber is for those guys on the cutting edge that really, or people just want on the cutting edge that want that high speed. And due to the fact it's for them, they would have HD on it for them on that easily. Because they know they're going to want HD.
Well,
they come out for, they know they're going to want that.
Well, remember earlier we were talking about the $120 a month. Basically, that would come with the gigabit broadband service, a terabyte of Google Drive cloud storage, and various TV channels, on-demand content, and movie networks. And, of course, it comes with that free Nexus 7 tablet.
Should I pay that?
That's hot. I like that. Where is this going to be? In Kansas?
Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas.
Okay, they're black people in Kansas. I can go to Kansas City, Missouri. All right. Okay, we're going to go test it out. Click Nation of Kansas.
Yeah. I'll find some peeps out there.
Well, this article was brought up a few weeks ago while we were on basically a hiatus. But basically, and this will foreshadow the news that came out today, where ABC and Marvel basically are eyeing an Avengers-themed television series. They said with the fact that, you know, they have ABC, why not put Avengers stuff on the major broadcast channel?
Yep. And
okay. So, I mean, are they just talking about putting Avengers, the movies have already been out, or are you talking about developing series?
Developing series. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He just said that. I'm sorry.
Sorry, my bad. I wasn't paying attention. I was listening to these crickets out here. My bad.
And Joss Whedon is going to oversee the project.
Mm-hmm.
Along with helming and directing Avengers 2.
Right. Which is the big news today that came out. Which was awesome. I know everyone here was pumped to hear it.
Oh, yes. Especially, with him overlooking the TV show. A couple people online have been screaming for a Heroes for Hire show.
Nah, Luke Cage and Power Fist?
Yep. That would be cool. They're kind of, because I was a little bit turned off with the idea. Like, I don't really want to see the top guys out there because I'm waiting to see the movie. But, Heroes for Hire.
Oh, yeah.
Lesser known. Yeah.
Or why not a Hawkeye Black Widow show?
Yeah.
Who's in play
him? That would be good. That'd be good.
I thought Jeremy Renner and Scarlett Johansson, they could do it. They ain't doing shit else.
Please.
You know, maybe Renner, but not Scarlett Johansson.
That's why that Hulk live action show they keep talking about is never going to get made.
Yeah, that shit is not going to work.
Because Mark Ruffalo is not playing them. If he's not playing the Hulk, it's going to be stupid to have a. This is the Hulk on TV, and then here's.
Hulk. I don't want them. Come on, that's already been done before, man. Everybody know the best Hulk on TV was Bill Bixby, so we're going to leave it at that. They got plenty of other characters to go with. From the Avenger universe.
Yeah. He was for Hire. Trying to think who else would be a nice fit.
I mean, why don't we do some Thor? We could do, old boy from Thor, never mind. I wouldn't mind watching more of the Thor. Especially if they went on the old Thor where he used to change back and forth, but I think secret identities are passe now, so.
But yeah, I don't want to see any of the movie people in the TV series. That's the movie people for the movies, TV for TV.
We have X-Men. We can get a bunch of the X-Men. We have X-Style. We got, how many X-Men are there, Tim?
They can't do anything with X-Men because Fox on all anything X-Men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's got to be Marvel.
It's got to be Draco Marvel.
So. Marvel Studios property.
You know what? They could pull out on Doctor Strange and work with him.
Well, they're supposed to be doing a Doctor Strange movie, so that kind of...
Black Panther would be kind of nice, even though they're...
Black Panther would be very good.
Even though they're going to do the movie. I keep wondering, is the movie going to get made or not?
I know, right?
But I think a TV series could easily get made, so, I would just like to just see the project finally come out. Like you guys said earlier, Hero for Hire, whichever series you pick, the dirt old one... without any of them.
Just, Runaways would be nice, too.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Be good. A lot of people don't know the Runaways. Or if you could, you could do the storyline maybe much later, but you could do the ones of Logan. Those would be pretty good. But with old men, older characters of Logan, having nothing to do with the stuff that's already out now. But that might be a conflict. So maybe that could be down the pipeline much, much later. But it was a good comic book. When it was out.
Yep.
All right. This was basically in its second weekend, Batman The Dark Knight Rises, won. But no one went and saw The Watch. Did any of y'all see The Watch when it came out or were even interested in seeing it?
I was interested.
My opinion, we saw the best of The Watch in the previews. That's how I was kind of feeling. I saw the best of it in the previews.
I didn't even see a preview for that damn movie.
You don't have TV.
You don't have TV.
I mean, you don't have cable.
Yeah, that was the only way you could really see it. I mean, I don't think they really advertised it on the four networks.
I saw a bunch of commercials.
They kind of did on the internet, but
Y'all don't watch enough TV.
I saw a bunch of what was on the internet. I saw a bunch of stuff, but I just, you know, Ben Stiller, I was like, Ben, you know, I'll catch you on Zoolander 2.
It looked like it could have been funny. Wow, damn, I'm looking at this T.J. Hooker episode, and I'm looking at David Crusoe. God damn, that's a long time ago.
I'm looking at this guy fall doing the hurdles.
Pretty funny. I laughed at that today.
Yeah.
It just opened up disappointing. I believe it earned like 15 million that weekend. Let me find out to make sure.
You're talking about something that I didn't even know was coming out. Step Up 4.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I saw no commercials for that.
Yeah, Step Up 4 came out. What was it called? Revolution?
Step Up Revolution 3D.
Yeah, Step Up Revolution.
It earned, well, let's see, The Watch earned $13 million that opening weekend, and Step Up Revolution earned $11.8 million. So that was, they were 4 and 5 respectively. It's terrible.
But, Step Up probably made them money back, but yeah, Watch is probably hurt because, you know, I know Ben Stiller isn't working cheap like this, so.
Oh, no. All right. Oops. Crap. Hold on 1 second. Browser messing up on me. Let's see. The next news story was about the He-Man movie project has finally picked a director, and it is John M. Chu, who is currently overseeing the production of G.I. Joe Retaliation as he converts into 3D.
Okay, cool.
No, not cool.
Maybe. Well, we don't know, you know.
We don't know what movie he's going to produce besides those step-up movies.
Look, damn it. Okay, let's talk about this.
Okay.
Your fucking G.I. Joe movie gets pushed back an entire year under this guise of 3D, but it starts coming out, the movie sucked, and you want that guy to direct your He-Man movie? Come on. Really? That
guy?
You know what,
though, on the real, dude? I think as far as He-Man coming out as a movie, I just feel like that shit's cursed. Like, they've wasted time letting one of the best dudes that could have been damn He-Man. Everybody knows damn Triple H was fucking He-Man for years. Now we let him get damn and shit. We all knew Triple H was fucking He-Man. We knew that shit. He even used to have the fucking crawl. You know, he knew he was He-Man. We all knew that shit. We should have did that years ago. We let, you know, I don't want to see no bullshit like that Dolph Lundgren shit. And I mean, they even revamped the new He-Man, so they have a new He-Man universe from the one they revamped in 2002 of the cartoon to kind of go by, which plugs a lot of holes from the one we all know and love from the 80s, from the Filmation one. So
Adam Black didn't like that 2002 He-Man.
Who?
You didn't like that 2002 He-Man, right?
I liked it.
Oh, I thought you didn't like it.
Oh, no, I liked
the far story plot. The story plot was good. Some of the animation was just a little bit too.
Now, granted, the animation.
Anime for me, you know, I kind of like the old, you know, I just like the Filmation. That's just, you know, I'm just being sentimental. That's just nostalgia. You know, I still like He-Man running up, punching my ass in the face and shit on the old one. You know, they didn't have shit on the new one. You know, the new one, this nigga just got this sword with the clock in the middle and it turns. And I'm like,
yeah. I agree with you. That's my only gripe about the newer series is that damn sword. I hate that damn sword. Everything else I was cool with.
Yeah, you know, the sword and some of the animation I wasn't with. But they fixed a lot of stuff. You know, they fixed the fact of Adam, He-Man, they gave you some origin of the Grayskull, and you got the Grayskull, the man, and they went through the whole thing with the Snake Man and Skeletor. So, you know, it was a really good show, except for some animation stuff that I didn't like. But, you know, I have to understand that shit wasn't really for my generation. No, it was for the new kids coming up, so that was really for them. So they like damn swords with clocks in them.
Flavor Flav inspired swords.
Yeah, But as far as a date for it, they don't have anything, you know, in you know, on paper or written down as far as an actual date for it. So, you know, as far as, you know, anything, it's probably just going to lounge in developmental hell for a while.
Right.
All right. The last week, we had a brand new Skyfall trailer, which we will post to the website.
Yay! Woo!
And it looks like it will be, once again, awesome.
I still haven't watched it.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty badass.
Dude, we saw it in the
they played it in the theaters for Batman.
Dark Knight, dude.
Did you see it?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Nope. We didn't see it in the IMAX. That's right. So, my bad.
Yeah.
I saw it online. They played it when I went.
Now, we saw it in regular, so it didn't. Well, you never know how trailers run. Like, some theaters would have. They may run one trailer in one theater.
Okay, man. We can look at it online all day long. Okay. It's still awesome.
It's awesome. Awesome.
I'll watch it after we're done.
Yes, you should.
All right, the next thing, I'm sorry, got distracted there for a sec. Let's see. All right, well, we're finally catching up to this weekend's box office, or this past weekend.
Yay!
The new release, and I thought for sure Total Recall would probably win the weekend, and it didn't.
Nope.
I saw that coming, but okay.
Yeah, Batman earned $36 million over the weekend, basically keeping number one. Total Recall finished second with $26 million, which you may say, hey, that's not too bad, $26 million. Give you a comparison, Total Recall, the original movie, back in 1990, on its opening weekend, made $25 million. And that, think about 1990 dollars versus 2012 movie dollars.
The power of Arnold.
You had Arnold back then. Remember, that's back when Arnold was the big action star before he came out with that bomb, you know, Last Action Hero?
Yeah.
When he bombed in. So Arnold couldn't do no wrong back then, man. And, you know, I think I caught Total Recall and I liked it. It was pretty good. They went back to the book. And a lot of that, so I liked it, and I even felt Colin Farrell was a more believable. I'll just say for listeners, people ain't seen it. He was a more believable Quaid than Arnold, because I seriously believe when you see Arnold, I believe Arnold is a super spy and he can literally fuck anybody up in the room, especially back then. You know, I ain't talking about Expendable 2 Arnold. I'm talking about Total Recall Arnold and Commando Arnold. So
Commando Arnold.
Yeah, Commando Arnold, you know. I'll be back, Arnold, that one. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, but it was, I liked it. It was really good, a good plot. It was a different, you know, different twist. They're not on Mars. They took out a lot of stuff that you would love from the old one. They're not on Mars. Well, spoiler, they're not on Mars, and there are no mutants. Sorry. So, you know.
So there's no Mars and no mutants?
They're mutants, but they're very normal. The only mutant that's sitting there, dude, is the three-tit chick. Three-tit chick is in there.
Okay. Why would I want to see that again? I mean,
Well, I mean, now the whole plot is kind of a little bit different. It's a little bit based on how our world is now, where there's a whole thing where certain people are controlling a certain resource and telling people that there's nothing left, but it's plentiful, and, you know... And then it also delves a little bit more into not so much Quaid being a freedom fighter, but really Quaid's really screwed up in the head in this one. So you're really thinking in your mind, like, you know what, you leave it, and you're kind of like the first one. I believe the first one was real. I believe that Arnold really did bring an atmosphere back to Mars. This one, I'm kind of like, did all this shit really happen, or is he really still back at Recall? So...
Well,
I think the problem with Total Recall, it's a remake that nobody really wanted. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, Arnold, yeah, you, Mr. Bamble's right.
I think people are good with the original version with Arnold. That's the movie they love, and it's kind of like, I mean, we probably shouldn't Hollywood probably should stop remaking movies that came out in the 80s.
They've almost remade them all, haven't they? Almost at this point.
Pretty much.
I mean, I was waiting on a Teen Wolf movie, but there was a Teen Wolf show on MTV. I think people still love those movies way too much for you to actually remake them now. You know what I'm saying? Like RoboCop. I don't know how this RoboCop thing is going to work. I'm actually interested to see it, but
I think that'll actually be good, and I really have no opinion on it.
I feel like the new RoboCop is going to be good, but there's always going to be a place in my heart with the old Peter Weller one, and well, RoboCop 1 to me is the best one. After 1, it really goes downhill. I can tolerate RoboCop 2, and 3 is just like, what the fuck? You know, by the time you get to 3, I despise RoboCop 3. But, you know, come on, man. You got Clarence Bonnacle, man. You know, can you fly by the everybody love that. So, you know, I know they're not they're going to attempt to do that whole setup, because you just can't do that whole setup like back then.
But Total Recall, I mean, I just think that's just a movie. And then Colin Farrell, I mean, I don't think Colin Farrell could carry a movie to save his life. I mean, maybe you've got a different leading actor, but, you know.
Well, I mean, in this one, he does a good job. And I will say Colin Farrell does do a superb job of Confused. So he does a superb job.
No doubt. He's actually a talented actor. Nobody wants to see his ass in a movie, though. Nobody wants to see his ass on a movie. Why would you? Nobody. I don't give a damn how talented he is. If he's not movie star material, nobody wants to see him. Nobody's gonna go see him. Just not gonna happen. Had you stuck Tom Cruise in that movie, people would have went to see that movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Tom Cruise. Man, what's my boy name? He's getting a little bit long tooth. But if you had stuck Guy Pearce in there, some other heavy hitters, yeah, probably.
You know, it's just. But hey, I mean, it may be a good movie.
I liked it. It was a good movie. It was cool what it was, and it was entertaining. I didn't feel like I lost any money, like I want my money back. And you know, when it comes out on DVD, Redbox, you know, check it out. And if you're a fan of, you know, if you're a fan of sci-fi, you know, I'd even say you know, cop it. You know, but don't go there. Don't go with expectations of this movie thinking it's going to out-top Arnold. You know, and I've heard people hate on the Arnold movie, like, oh, man, well, there's a lady with a blowing-up head, and the head blew up, and you're not going to like this new one because it was like the book. And, you know, I'm like, well, sorry, dude, I didn't read the fucking book. But, you know, I like the Arnold.
See, that's the thing about the Arnold version of that movie. On the outside, just kind of looking at it, it seems like just your regular old Arnold Schwarzenegger action movie. You actually get into the movie, it's actually a lot deeper than that. So, and I think, and because Total Recall is probably my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
It's up there. It's like what you just said earlier, Mr. Brown. It's an iconic movie. It has some iconic images. It's like somebody trying to go back and do Space Odyssey 2001 by Stanley Kubrick, or really trying to do anything by Stanley Kubrick, or, you know, the greats like Alfred Hitchcock. You try and redo their stuff. It's so iconic and etched in everybody's mind that it's just hard to out-top them, because everybody's going to say the same thing. Like, even I sat through the movie, and there's a different revolutionary in the movie than old boy that had, what was the name of then, Guado, the thing that was in his stomach.
Yeah.
Original one. He's not in there. So spoiler alert, he's not in there. And I really was disappointed, because I'm like, dang, dude, I kind of wanted to see, you know, Guado and a little baby on, but no, nah, it's not in there.
What's the next piece of news?
Well, another disappointment from the weekend was Diary of a Wimpy Kid 3.
Yeah, oh, that came out?
Yeah, that came out.
You said 3?
Yeah.
3?
That's my answer.
They had 1 and 2.
Yeah.
That came out last year, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think they've come out consecutive years. There's been a new one every year. The one thing with this was the first one they decided to release during the summer. All the other ones came out in like March.
Right.
Okay. Well, so, they won't do that no more.
But basically, this is supposed to be. This was, it's based upon the series of young adult books, and this supposedly combined books 3 and 4. Into one movie. So I think that's all of them as far as the franchise. But yeah, usually they released them in the springtime, but they decided they thought they would take advantage of the fact that kids would be out of school, so they would watch the movie.
But
they were wrong.
Release that during the summer with all these damn superhero movies? Really? No. Bad idea.
But parents,
and then you got to look at parents' budget, because a lot of blockbusters came out. You had the kids had to go to catch Avengers, and some of them had to go catch Batman. You had Madagascar. You had Brave. You know, mom and daddy had to look at that budget like, look, you're going to Avengers. I don't know about the rest.
All right, the last bit of news is FX inks a script developmental deal for Dr. Dre.
Really?
Basically, FX is getting into business with Dre. The network FX has inked a script developmental deal with the music mogul and writer Sidney Quashie.
Really?
For a drama pilot.
What's going with that headphone?
Huh? Hello?
Keep going.
Okay. The one-hour project set in present-day L.A. explores both the music business and crime business. Quashie will be billed as creator and executive producer, while Dre will serve as an executive producer.
Did you say what kind of show it was going to be? Besides
it
drama?
Was just a drama based upon music and crime.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, they just mentioned, the accomplishments that Dre had in the music industry. But no word is, it's just a developmental deal for a pilot. So we just don't know yet.
Yeah.
Dre, just put out the Detox album. That's all I want you to do, Dre. Just put out Detox album. I don't fuck a script, fuck a show. Detox album, bro. Please, in my lifetime.
Apparently, that might be the last thing on his mind. Got to get that show going.
I see that. So, oh well.
That's pretty much the last bit of news. I did have a newsarama on the worst Batman villains, but we could save that for another time.
Yep.
Please.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll get into listener and reader feedback and shout outs. And as we go to break, you'll be listening to a tune from one of our listeners and followers on Twitter at Cordicon. That's CORDICON. Hope I spelled that right. Did I spell that right?
Believe that's it.
Okay. My brain's not working for some reason. He submitted a nice, I guess he does some music, and he sent something over, which Adam Black's listened to, and I have as well, and we liked it. So I want to put some of his work on the show. So like I said, when we come back, we'll get into the feedback and shout-outs. I'm an action figure addict, as I stuff away more boxes in my attic. What do you fathom? I'm a fanatic, and they stand too tall in the detour. Action poses, not cause you cough, and they topple over. Cause they like to do that in the toy, bitch, it's over. Now we on to the Hasbro. Warriors are not a Hasbro. We saying all the feeling when we playing, and we hoping that they doing the legends right. Push play on the
Click Nation. In the background, EDP. Codes for the pod, TVG, WT, General Motherfucking Geekery. You can listen at the Stitcher rap, while Eclectic ask you 1,000 raps. The Adam Black is back to recap the news, and that's a fact. I'ma turn these podcasts up and listen. In my kitchen, shitting in my bathroom stall, I'ma listen to each and every one of them all. 10 Dog 98, we'll fuck your timeline up and set them straight. Mr. Vamps, talking about reels with tape, the good, the bad, and the ones he hates. Classic Materia is down to watch some Ray Mysteria. They all hail from ATL area, so if you see a Mac scared of shit, I'ma turn these podcasts up and listen. In my kitchen, shitting in my bathroom stall, I'ma listen to each and every one of them all.
And we're back. So before we jump into the listener feedback and comments, we were going to bring quickly comment on the Olympics and some of the hoopla going around about the gold medalist Gabby Douglas and the hair controversy. So I think Mr. Jetstream,
we about to go hard on these folks. First of all,
I had to tell them to be quiet and save it for the show.
We about to go ham. First of all, you know, congratulations to Gabby being 16 years old, gold medalist gymnast, you know, top of the world. First of all, for y'all ignorant motherfuckers out here fucking with her about her hair, she is a damn gymnast. If you look at the white girls that are jumping around with her and all the other girls from all the other countries, they have their hair pulled back out of their face so they can see what they're doing as they're doing somersaults and flipping through the air, doing other amazing feats that your trifling, lazy, weave hair wearing ass worrying about niggas bullshit won't do, especially at some 16 years old.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is her fucking job, you dumb bitches. Her hair don't need to look fucking good at her fucking job. This girl is 16 competing on the Olympic level in gymnastics. That ain't just some bullshit you do on a fucking whim. You damn sorry ass bitches. Shut the fuck up talking about this little girl's hair, bro. Guess what? This little girl, from what I'm understanding, just signed a $90 million endorsement deal with Kellogg's. So that's 90 million reasons she don't give a fuck about what you think about her hair. That's more money than any of y'all bitches will ever make in your goddamn life. You're sorry.
Exactly. And, you know, she said she had a secret. Here's another bit of beef now. This is a racist statement I found. I again on Facebook, but I heard that there's some racist people comparing this young, beautiful black girl to a monkey. Because her ability isn't trying to compare it to a monkey. No, I know the squirrel thing, but somebody else, the squirrel thing is what they call her, and she knows that. Other people have been giving derogatory statements saying, oh, well, she should win because she's like a monkey. And that's what other people have been saying about her. No, the squirrel thing was like amongst.
That's just her little nickname.
Her nickname. That was her nickname, but this monkey stuff is not a nickname. I get a little bit mad why, you know, white people always trying to always be like brown people or from monkeys and all that stuff just because let me explain something to you. We're brown. We don't have fur. We're brown. That's not, you know, it's not hair. We're just brown complected. That's melanin, protects us from the sun, you know. Exactly. But, you know, you guys are the ones all hung up on monkeys because, you know, you guys went through the whole thing with the whole scope trials and the whole evolution. You got one half is always trying to say, okay, well, we evolved from apes to monkeys. Or God created us and you guys still have long debates, which I don't really care. I'm just happy I'm here. Like, I'm just happy we just here doing whatever, you know, whatever it is we do. I don't believe in the whole evolution to that extent of the ape thing, because it just really kind of, it falls apart without the missing link. So, you know, don't call this little girl, you know, a monkey and mess with her about her hair. You know, she's doing more. I'm just glad to see a 16-year-old doing more with her life than what the only 16-year-olds making the kind of money Gabby's making are the ones on MTV for getting knocked up. You know, we're rewarding them for being careless.
Right. You know, another thing I want to point the fuck out. Why the fuck is it such a big deal that this little girl's mama had to file bankruptcy? There are millions and millions of fucking people in the damn United States that had to file bankruptcy because they couldn't pay their bills for whatever reason. This girl's mother went bankrupt trying to make her daughter's dream a reality. That shit has happened. Why the fuck you got to bring it up? Because guess what? It don't fucking matter anymore. Gabby got $90 million now. She and her mama ain't got to work another day in her life. Why the fuck do you care?
Yeah, you know, I think Gabby and their struggle is like, you know, part of the American dream. Your mama went bankrupt, she foreclosed, but it wasn't on nothing crazy. Might I add that the mama was always working, raising these kids on her own by herself. And the mama had some dedication. She let the girl, like, move all the way out to Des Moines, away from her. And, I mean, first of all, some of these ignorant people talking about this girl because they don't go nowhere, so they don't see no stuff. So they don't know that gymnastics and, extracurricular activities for your kids is expensive. You know, a couple of people, if anybody, and you put your kids in Little League, dance, swimming, karate,
right,
all that stuff, that's expensive. You know, not to mention just shuttling them back and forth. So all that requires some money. So, you know, and I'm just glad she took out the time with her kid, but gymnastics is extremely expensive.
Expensive, you know. But you know what? But fuck all that. Congratulations, Gabby. You're on the top of the world.
You're on top of the world. Yes, and big shout outs go to the U.S. track and field female team. Yay. And Jamaican team. You know what? Really, just all of the track and field ladies around the world. Yay.
He just yay.
Yay.
Austin. Yay, yay.
Yeah, dude. I love the Summer Olympics because I love ladies track and field. It lets me, it allows me to look at women sports at the same time without, you know, feeling like I'm objectifying them. So, you know, it's like, no, I'm watching sports. You say, yeah, I'm watching sports, man. Look at them go. Even, you know, I love them all. Synchronized swimming. Gymnastics, except for Gabby. I ain't doing that. That's nasty. Some of y'all fellas, y'all nasty, dude. That girl's 16, man. You know she's 16. Gabby looks 16. Nasty, dude. I know she's amazing, but she's 16, dude. Calm down.
Yes.
Yeah, anywho. So, you know. But, yeah. Synchronized swimming was hot this year.
So stupid. Anyway.
For the females, it was hot this year.
Anyway,
so let's see.
On to viewer feedback.
Yes, from Facebook, Eclectic from Eclectic Relaxation commented on our the Dark Knight Rises episode. He said, "So disappointed in the TDKR review episode. The majority of the show / review pointed out the cornucopia of flaws and potholes, but at the end, give it the highest rating possible. Highest rating, I think, is what he tried to say. Rating possible. And then, though it's tough to compare the two, three, four say they enjoyed it better than the Avengers. Different movies, mm-hmm. but Avengers had no plot holes or flawed logic. And I don't even dislike
the." Wait. He said the Avengers had no plot holes or flawed logic?
Avengers have plot holes.
Hold on. We didn't
talk about it.
Let me point out one thing. I'm just going to point out just one thing in the Avengers.
Okay.
Just one.
All right.
Put out a whole bunch. Just this one. Okay. Loki's mind control that he does with the Infinity Gem. It's you can get out of his mind control by hitting your head.
Hit it real hard.
You gotta hit it real hard.
I troll via of Infinity Gem. If I just hit my head on the wall and I'm cured, really? That's not flawed logic or a plot hole. Come on,
that's easy. Easy resolution of
student problem.
Yeah,
dude, it's a fucking comic book movie.
And I don't even dislike The Dark Knight Rises, but it's overrated. Not as much as The Dark Knight is, though. Good show, regardless, and no echo.
I'm fine. I'm on the phone. Yeah, you gotta edit that out.
Oh, no, man, I gotta leave that in there.
Are you gonna keep the kid riding by the go kart?
Oh yeah.
And it, of course.
Let's work for me to do later on.
Oh, man, that shit funny, nigga.
Now let's see what else we have. I see a bunch of liked posts. So yeah, I think that's it for Facebook. And so we got some comments on some posts on the website, theclicknation.com. It'd be nice if I remember where the last comments I read left off. I think I read stuff from the Comic Book Chronicles episode 1. So I'll just go to the Click Nation, basically the comments from the Batman Begins and the Dark Knight episode, because we haven't recorded since then. From John Araki, or his Twitter handle, Joannis3000, our West Coast Click affiliate. Another great episode. Thoughts on the Click ratings. Dark Knight should be an example of a 5-star rating. That movie is one of the best movies I've seen ever. Maurice Mitchell. I'm assuming his website is geektwins.blogspot.com. He says, sounds exciting. This is from a different post. This is from I put the post for Days of Future Past confirmed as the first class sequel, which I guess we should have mentioned in news.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I can't wait to see that. I really can't.
Yeah, especially since they're gonna merge all the movies together.
Yeah, that's gonna be good. So yeah.
But he posts, sounds exciting. Brian's plan is very ambitious considering the huge continuity problems with the movies. Natasha Dythea from
Just Blaze?
Just add ashofgeek.com, I guess is the website. She said, I'm assuming it's a she, says, it can be done. I just hope it can be done well. General Geekery Cast says, oh, hell yes. I cannot fucking wait to see what they do with this. And Dave Nappy comments on the Comic Book Chronicles Episode 2, San Diego Comic-Con. Great job, Tim and Foggs. Tim, if you want to go to New York Comic-Con this year, tell Classic. And with any luck, I can meet you guys there. I, too, want to go to San Diego Comic-Con at some point, hopefully soon. So, appreciate those posts.
That might be a trip we need to try and do.
I kind of want to go to the New York one more than the San Diego one now, because the San Diego one just sounds like a big headache.
Well, I mean, it's because it's such a media focus event, man. It's not really. I mean, if you're going there for comics, I'm sure you'll get your joy out of it. But it just seems like it's just.
Yeah,
like having gone to a convention, it is, you know, it's good for comic book stuff, but throwing all that extra media coverage and you're probably just walking through a sea of people.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd need to hit a convention up.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Mm-hmm. We'll figure something out.
And let's see. I don't think we had any email. I'm going to check, see if there's any Twitter at comments that are worth mentioning. Of course, I have to go back a little ways. Let's see. Oh, I did get Greg Pack to send me a copy of the Extreme X-Men number 1. That was kind of interesting, which I said I was going to do a Comic Book Chronicles episode on it to review it. I might just do a quick blog post or something about it.
Definitely do that.
Yeah. I didn't really enjoy it too much. I'm not finished with it. One, I don't see the point in the series because it's just exiles with different characters. Okay, it's time for me to rant now.
Go ahead.
So I don't see the point in Extreme X-Men, the series, because like I said, it's just exiles done over again, except with characters from the that were created and debuted in Astonishing X-Men.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, Age of Apocalypse is a new ongoing series, correct?
Yes.
It has started yet.
Yes, it already started.
Yes, and besides like a couple of articles on a couple of websites discussing it before it debuted, I haven't heard one peep from this series. I'm assuming people aren't reading it because, again, what is the point in the series? To show a bunch of humans taking on the mutants left in the Age of Apocalypse. Basically, I think the reason they did is because everyone was loving the Uncanny X-Force series, and when they went back to Age of Apocalypse, it's like, hey, let's take advantage of this influx of people reading the Uncanny X-Force book and try to spin something out of it. So we'll do this. Yeah. And then speaking of another thing, Nightcrawler came back with Uncanny X-Force from the Age of Apocalypse.
Right.
Is he? I guess he's still in the Uncanny X-Force book, isn't he? I just see.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of all those Banff Nightcrawler.
That I have no idea. I'm not real sure what that's about because I haven't read it in a while. So
that's another gripe. And my final gripe, at least that I know of, is what is the point in that other X-book that I think has just debuted or is about to, the first X-Men or something like that it's called?
That one with Neil Adams?
Yes. Yeah,
I have no idea what that's about. And I think they're keeping it deliberate, that they're keeping a hush on that. I'm not sure what it's about. I just know it has Wolverine in it and a bunch of other mutants.
Magneto, and it's like a secret tales of stuff that went on before the X-Men formed.
Right.
Which, again, what is the point?
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that Neil Adams is drawing X-Men stuff again.
Ooh.
See?
And I
have respect for Neil Adams, please. Thank you.
Yes. Comic legend.
He's like Chris Claremont now. Let's keep giving Chris Claremont X-Men stuff to do, but let's put it outside the scope of the regular continuity so he can't fuck anything up.
Okay. I'll give you that on Chris Claremont, but Neil Adams hadn't really done that much stuff, so
yeah, I'm not really blaming him for it. He just draws the book, but that just made me think of Chris Claremont. And I don't know if I ranted about this on a Click Nation podcast or a Comic Book Chronicles, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, the Marvel Point One for the Marvel Now initiative, which is the big it's not a reboot, it's just a new jumping on point for fans.
Marvel 52?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm cool with that. But they had the Point One book. They're hyping the Point One book for, with four or five different stories for these characters to pay attention to in the new Marvel Now. Okay, that's fine. What about stuff that was teased in the original Point One that still hasn't happened yet? Yes, yeah, I know the Age of Ultron is still going to happen, and they're going to do stuff with Nova still, but I just find it ironic that there's still stuff from the original Point One that they released back.
That was probably sometime last year.
Yeah, I want to say October. I just read that recently. And it's almost a year now later, and stuff still hasn't happened.
I think somewhere along the lines, plans changed, and they decided just to opt and do something else instead.
Yes.
And, you know, basically use the Avengers X-Men as a jump-off point to do it.
That's exactly what I was about to say, which I guess is fine. I just, it'd be nice for them to come out and admit it. I guess, maybe, I don't know if anyone's asked that question. I need to start booking some Marvel people online, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't harass.
Hey, ask Rob Liefeld. He'll tell you.
Rob Liefeld set the internet ablaze last week.
With what?
He's a cock.
He was too busy patting himself on the back with congratulating himself about creating X-Force and Cable and Deadpool. Basically, it was that same day that the Deadpool Marvel Now teaser came out with the chimichungas or whatever the teaser word says.
Chimichangas?
Yeah.
Chimichanga.
Yeah, that thing, as your phone rings in the background.
Yes. But, I'm curious if I got these people calling.
I mean, that's fine. So I guess that same day, later on that day, Liefeld was busy twittering away saying how, look at Deadpool. He's an iconic Marvel character. You know, basically saying how he's awesome because
he created him.
Well, not just that, but he's still wearing the same uniform he wore when Liefeld created him. You know, just like Captain America and Spider-Man and whoever else he wanted to use as an example. You know, they know not to fuck with a good thing. And he used Cable and Domino, he mentioned, too. And I'm like, Domino, okay, sure, I guess. She wears a tactical outfit.
Okay.
Yeah, she just wears regular leather, like, outfits. It's nothing much to her costume. And Cable, sure, I guess. I mean, he's lost some pouches and belts and a couple guns over the years, but
yeah, smaller guns.
Yeah, but I mean, there wasn't really much to his costume anyway.
Right. I mean,
it was like a uniform more than a costume.
A costume, right?
So yeah, he was busy, you know. Oh, and then I created. And the other thing he said was he was sort of ripping Marvel, saying how they never put any of their A-list talent on Deadpool. It was always the D-list people. Because they announced the Marvel Now creative team, and then it was people I had never heard of before, some Comedy Central writers or something.
Yeah, they were comedy writers, and it's going to be a duo basically writing the book.
Which, I mean, I agree with him on that point. Yes, there's no A-list talent when they, you know, being put on Deadpool, but then that kind of offended a whole bunch of people. Like, basically saying,
on the freaking book.
Everyone took it as anyone that's ever wrote for Deadpool is a D-list talent.
I can attest to the run that, I read the run that Joe Kelly did when he wrote the very first Deadpool ongoing series. It's good. It's probably that's the version that I prefer of the character. He did a lot, but again, that was when he really wasn't that known of a writer. Now, true enough, he hasn't done a whole bunch of great stuff, but he was a good writer. So I kind of, take offense to that, you know, everyone just did a terrible job or they don't put good talent on the book, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in his defense, that's not what he meant, but that's how people took it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, he basically meant it as they don't put any of the Brian Bendises or Mark Waid's or whoever else on the book.
Right.
So, and then I was watching Rick Remender was going at him. That was kind of fun to watch. And then, Liefeld said something about, Remender is the guy that used to try to flame him on message boards or something like that. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, jeez.
You know what? Rob Liefeld's still a dick. I don't give a damn.
My response to that was to post a picture of Liefeld on Facebook of Captain America that he drew of Liefeld post breast enhancement surgery.
Yeah, Captain America had boobs.
Yeah, Captain America with boobs.
Like I said, man. Rod Liefeld has never taken a human anatomy class day in his life.
Yeah, we were just ranting about comic book stuff.
Hey, Jetstream.
Jetstream is back.
Hello, Jetstream.
You finished mowing the lawn?
That was a good one.
And trying to think, is there anything else? Is there anything else comic book I wanted to rant about?
What did y'all get back on now? Say what?
You sound like Jocelyn from damn Love and Hip Hop.
Huh, puppy?
Can you hear us?
He's gone.
Is he gone? I still see his name up there. He's trying to connect again. Yeah. So let's see. Liefeld, Marvel Now. I'm actually excited about Marvel Now.
Like I said, you have to give it a chance. You know, we'll see in like what by October what we're looking at.
I want to first see how Avengers vs. X-Men ends.
Yeah,
and then I guess we'll take it from there. But yeah, I just want them to admit that they decided to change plans at the last minute and do the whole Marvel Now thing.
They ain't going to admit that.
Yeah, but I did have the Marvel Twitter account reply to me. Because I keep using the hashtag Marvel Now, which I'm sure they search for online. I said it was a Friday when they announced like four new books at once, the Fantastic Four books and the FF and Captain America, possible X-Men Legacy, and there was another one I can't think of. But yeah, I said, damn, Marvel keeps sucking me in with all this new Marvel Now news, something along those lines, and they were like, glad you're excited. and then I replied back to him and said, I'm still not happy about Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes being canceled. to which they didn't reply. But at least they didn't block me.
Well, they might have been just as hurt as you were, so
yeah.
Like we didn't really have control. Like, you know, we're hurt too.
We hurting. But that was it for the comments. Twitter, there were too many responses to try to go back through, but we appreciate everyone sending things along to us. Going forward, of course, if you do add us or comment or post on our website or Facebook or even iTunes comments, we'll make sure to read them on the show.
Yay.
So I think we're about done for tonight. I plugged CordaCon, which I want to make sure I did. Follow my man CordaCon on Twitter at CordaCon, CordiCon. Make sure to check out some other podcasts. Another one I'm on is the Cold Slither podcast with the Classic Material and Eclectic. Follow both gentlemen on Twitter. Classic is at Classic Materia with no L at the end. Because of the Twitter username length limit. And Eclectic is at EC. Can I even spell it? Let me find those at name so I get it right. At ECLECTIK. And he has his own podcast, the Eclectic Discussion Podcast. Check that out. Check out the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Check out General Geekery, the Underscoop Fire crew. I think that's about it. Claymation Howell, check him. He's a Cold Slither podcast contributor to the website. Any shout outs you fellas want to give?
Of course, at William B. West, at David Mac 90.
Oh, David, punk ass.
Well, damn.
I had to add that in there. And Will got to stop. He's trying to tell me how to regulate, my Instagram account, trying to get me to Instagram original pictures instead of just copying and pasting Marvel Now images. I can do what I want on my Instagram.
Motherfucker.
But continue.
I was on there last night chatting it up with and at count_marzo had them going back and forth talking about Raw. So
yeah, I'm done with Raw until it goes back to 2 hours.
Come on, 3 hours too. Like one guy posted on Twitter said that watching Raw is like a fucking chore or something like that.
Basically, I can sit through that crap for 3 hours.
3 hours, yeah, 3 hours is pretty long, man.
That's long for anything. Yeah, even movie, like a movie. If someone told you a movie was 3 hours long, you'd be like, oh no, I can't do it. But, you know, now you're going to have to sit through commercials, too, while you're watching this show.
Right.
So, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, I was chilling out reading comic books.
See, I approve.
Yeah, it looks like Raw going to end up being like, I guess it'd be like Sports Center for wrestling when you just watch Raw, like you just cut it on. Like,
it on and it's still on.
Yeah, just cut it on mute. It's still on. Just cut it on mute.
Make sure to, speaking of wrestling, make sure to check out the one of the latest episodes of the Eclectic Discussion podcast, where he gives his Nitro, WCW Nitro 1000 episode, basically saying like if Nitro had ever made it to 1000 episodes, and basically a look back at Nitro throughout the years, it brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah, that'd be good though. That's back when wrestling was fun. Now I'm kind of, I'm pretty much bored with it. Like, oh, this is boring. And I was still riffing. Like, somebody's get hit with a chair by now. Come on.
Mm-hmm. It's totally different now.
Yeah.
And apparently, Corticon has a podcast.
Yeah, it's. I think he's working on getting it up and going. If you want to stay up to date with news on it for when it eventually drops, their Twitter account is @NEPodcast. He just started a Twitter account yesterday, I believe.
Yep. So I will be following.
Yes.
Follow, I tell you, follow.
I got one request, man, because people did not, well, they heard it last time. Mr. Banff, can you please do a Bane real quick, man?
Bit of Bane real quick?
Yeah, just a little bit of Bane, man.
A little bit of Bane?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been 2 weeks, dude. You know, like I said, I got still a little bit of my little cold left in there. I'll try and do a little bit of Bane for you tonight.
I don't know, man. They came out a little Count Chocula.
Just saying, man. I can't do it because I still got a little bit of cold in there, so I can't.
Save it for another time.
I was listening to the Dark Knight episode. I was tripping out when you said, Hines Ward will survive my plan. Oh, shit.
Yeah, from what I understand, the Bane impression went over kind of good, so.
the Bane was hilarious. I was listening to that, like, he actually sounds like Bane from the movie, except clear.
Not clear.
Yeah, I can understand what he's saying, but in Bane.
Sans muffling.
Yes.
Speaking of that episode, the audio was nice and clear. Got to do that more often whenever we're all down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But Mr. Banff, any shout-outs?
Nah. No shout-outs for me this week. Yeah.
Jetstream?
Pretty much, you know, just shout out our regular listeners. 3000, J3000, Kojak, and yes, Kojak, you know, our regular Delta. Listeners. Yeah, Kojak Delta.
Saint Walker's another one. Saint Walker.
Saint Walker's on it. Usual listeners and all of our, I guess, fellow podcasters in the whole podcast on universe, and that's really it.
Yes, a couple of quick shout outs. I am Big Ben 87, Tatum 216, Get Off My Planet, Nick Jew, some of the loyal crew.
Right.
So Again, check out our website, theclicknation.com. Follow our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98.
I'm at the_Adam_Black on Twitter.
Okay, and I am Leroy Jetstream, and I'm at I'm at Leroy_Jetstream.
And I am at Mr. Bamf. That's MISTABAMF. I've actually been tweeting a lot lately, so, you know, I was on a nice little Twitter rant, whatever you want to call it, yesterday. It was fun.
Yeah. And the Click Nation Twitter account is at TheClickNation, Facebook.com/TheClickNation. Like our Facebook fan page, on Google+, search for TheClickNation, YouTube.com/TheClickNation. Send any comments to TheClickNation@gmail.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Make sure to like us, share us, favorite us. Leave some iTunes comments. We'll read them on the show. And that should be it. So for Leroy Jetstream, Mr. Bamf, and the Adam Black, I'm Tim DOGG, and we are the Click Nation, and we are signing off.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Up in a body bag.